With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Welcome back, baseball family. So we thought it would be fun to do something today. It's actually inspired by something Briggs said a while ago. It was an Easter egg. It's a baseball Easter egg in a movie. It was actually in the Matrix. What was it? They take the elevator to floor number 42. Is that what it was, Brig?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So,
well, that was a, was that, didn't you quiz me on that? Wasn't that a trivia thing you stumped me on?
No, you quizzed me on it.
Oh,
and stumped me,
oh, yeah,
because
you
were,
because you kept stumping me. That's what it was.
And yeah, I, yeah, you, you saw the opportunity, you took it, and that's fine. That's fine. I'll allow it this one time. But so I thought it would actually be fun to see if we could find some more Easter eggs that we could share with you that are pretty fun. Some of them are like really in depth and deep. Others are really superficial at the surface. But we have four each. We have eight total that we thought that we would share with you guys. Obviously, there is like a million out there that we could go in depth with. But this is where we wanted to go with today. So, Brig, why don't you go ahead and get us started?
All right. Thank you, Brad. Hi, I'm Brig. And my my first Easter egg is from Supernatural, the television show Supernatural. In season 5, Dean Winchester goes by, you know, they're always changing their names when they travel. You know, I don't want to give anything away, but they always are going by these aliases. And Dean's character goes by the name of Detective Bill Buckner in season 5.
For those who don't know, who was Bill Buckner, Brig?
Okay, Bill Buckner pitched for the Red Sox, and didn't he pitch for the Cubs for a little while as well?
Well, so there were two Bill Buckners, actually. I want to say there was one who pitched for the Cubs, but the Bill Buckner that immediately comes to mind for me was the first baseman for the Red Sox.
That's what I'm talking about, yep.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And if you, maybe we should put a link to the doobly-doo in the show notes about Bill Buckner's World Series error.
Yes, we will do that. For those of you who don't know, you can watch the ball go off the pebble.
You know, what's funny about that is that he said leading up to that game that all he told himself all season long was, man, just don't let it go this way. And for sure, of course, because that's what he's hyper-focused on. That's what freaking happened in the biggest moment ever.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It brings me visceral joy. Yeah, so much. Just, I wasn't even there. I wasn't even alive.
It's true. Yeah. Yeah, it's a couple of years. Okay. So I have two things about actually that specific moment about Bill Buckner. So one, Dan Patrick talks about being at the game. I believe he was working for CNN at the time, and he was down in the tunnel waiting for the Red Sox coming. He's like, Red Sox are going to win the World Series. I'll go get my interviews, whatever.
Yeah.
Then he said that he heard a roar and another roar. And then he heard that the Mets won. And he's like, oh, the Mets just won the World Series. You know, they had one more game to play. But he said, yep, the Mets just won the World Series. But the thing he said to his credit, he said, Bill Buckner came and he answered all the questions. He took it like a man. He just said, yep, sure,
yeah,
play.
That's right.
That he faced it and he did not leave and answered all the questions that were sent his way. The other one that is actually like really funny. So I love the movie Little Big League. It's like my rookie of the year. So funny. And Billy Haywood, the kid who's the manager, he's talking to his third baseman who let a ball go between his legs in the big game at the end of the movie. And he's like, you know, same thing happened to Bill Buckner. Ball hit a pebble, went right between his legs. And then you know what happened? He's like, what? And he goes, he stepped up to the plate his next at bat and ripped a game-winning double. He's like, he did? He's like, he sure did. So he goes up there all confident, rips a single, and the pitching coach comes over and he goes, hey, kid, don't mean to break it to you at this time, but the ball off the pebble ended the game. He goes, I know that.
Yeah.
But he doesn't.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's the ignorance that pays off sometimes, but I thought it was a good little moment. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, that's terrific. So. All right, Brad, hit us with one of your Easter eggs.
Okay, in my house, we have a four-year-old. I have a four-year-old girl who loves the movie Moana. Mostly she just loves the music from Moana. We have to listen to it every time we're in the car. But the song Shiny, which is sung by Jemaine Clement from Flight of the Conchords, that's a terrible New Zealand accent. Anyways.
I loved it.
So I love the song Shiny, but there's one part where he's like digging on Maui when he gets his hook back, and he says, "You don't swing it like you used to, man." Which I thought was a pretty cool little reference, because what is it they say about a slugger who is not a slugger anymore? He doesn't swing it like he used to.
Bingo.
And I thought that was a pretty cool little Easter egg in that song that has so many, so many good references throughout. But that was the one in particular that I really liked. It was just a little one, but it was good. I liked it.
That's awesome.
All right.
All right, I've got another one. Most people don't know this, but Iron Man is a baseball fan.
Yes, he is.
He's a baseball fan. It's a big deal. So let me read from my notes. In the graphic novel, The Five Nightmares, this is written by Matt Fraction, Tony Stark travels to the Congo. He's obviously rooting out evil. That's his thing. And a satellite communication intercept shows that the superhero a few things like, kind of like a PowerPoint presentation. And there are a couple of things going on in the newsflash, this PowerPoint presentation. One of them is that Josh Beckett has a no-no bid through 8 innings. To which the graphic novel reads, not to jinx anything. Like, the actual text in the graphic novel says, not to jinx anything.
I like that. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a real deep cut.
It's real deep. It's pretty obscure. But it's ironclad evidence that Iron Man's a big baseball fan. Big. Yeah. So, got them unwritten rules and everything.
Very good. I like that one.
Yeah, man.
Love me some Iron Man, too. Really big into the Marvel movies. So, yeah. Thanks to Iron Man. Okay. Let's see. Let's go with another real quick one here. Another thing that I'm a big nerd about. I've talked about Star Wars. I just submitted my nerddom into Marvel movies. I'm kind of a video game nerd. I like to play the Assassin's Creed games. Well, the one that came out this last year was Assassin's Creed Valhalla. It takes place during the Viking Age. Whenever that was, in the Dark Ages, I don't know exactly. I haven't played it yet. But anywho, Cody Bellinger actually has a cameo in the game. Like, it's not just like they brought in somebody who looks like him. They brought him into the studio, put the little dots on his face, had him like do the motion capture, everything. And his name is Otta Slugason. Almost like Attaboy. Slugson, I don't know. I don't feel like they tried too hard.
Yeah.
They definitely made the baseball reference really thick and heavy on there. But you I haven't played the game, so I don't know exactly what it is. But it looks like there's some version of a home run derby where you use a weapon to hit rocks over like a fence or something like that.
That's fantastic.
So I don't know where he is. Don't know how to find him. But Cody Bellinger is in Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Aha.
Yes.
Wow. And for those of you who don't play the Assassin's Creed games, they're open world sort of choose your own adventure role playing games, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they're
so you have to find stuff. Like
it's
a big fat treasure hunt. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big fat treasure hunt. Great big open world. I think they're fun cuz they're also like adventure games. So I like adventure stuff like that, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah, that's cool. Good. That's a great one. That's a great one. Okay, I am going to go next in 51st Dates. Adam Sandler's character, Henry, he makes a video for Drew Barrymore's character, Lucy. And in the video of like the most important things ever, right? The things that she needs to remember and be aware of includes Aaron Boone's home run.
It's such a funny moment. Because I remember when that movie came out, I saw it in the theater like its first week, and it came out in summer 2004, and that home run was from 2003, right? I want to make sure.
Yeah.
So he says right before that, he says the Red Sox won the World Series because it shows them celebrating after one of the wins in that series, and then he shows the home run and says, "Just kidding, the Yankees won."
Well, okay, That's even funnier because so Adam Sandler's an enormous Yankees fan. Enormous.
Yes, he is.
And Drew Barrymore's a big old fatty fat Red Sox fan.
I didn't know that. I forgot that she's a Red Sox fan. That's really funny.
She's a Red Sox fan. Oh, so that's actually like one layer deeper. That's so funny.
That's good. I like that. Yeah. That makes it even better.
The Red Sox won funny. World Series. Just kidding. Here's Aaron Boone going yard.
Well, and then, and yeah, I mean, that and great. That was, and then 2004, the year that movie came out, that was the year that the Red Sox did win the World Series finally.
They did.
They came back from 3-0 over against the Yankees. And
yeah.
A little bit of salt for that wound there, Brig.
And thanks, then, man. I was really happy just a minute ago. I was feeling great. Now I'm weeping. Oh, I'm just kidding.
Anyway, no, that's a good one. I like that one a lot. I've always thought that was really funny. I remember, like I said, I saw the movie in the theater, and I was legitimately the only person in the theater laughing at that because I thought it was so funny.
Nobody else got it.
And
yeah,
no, yeah, nobody else got it. Like, get it? Because yeah, well, okay. All right. Anyway, moving on.
Brad, why don't you hit us with your last Easter egg?
All right, my last Easter egg.
Oh, no, you have two more. No, you have two more.
Oh, I do. I do. Okay.
Yeah, you have two more.
They're both from sitcoms. Let's go Seinfeld.
Okay.
Let's go with Seinfeld. Okay. I'm a big Seinfeld fan. I love that show. Didn't watch it a whole lot growing up. I got into it a little bit older. So this is actually a joke that I feel like I appreciated a little bit better since I was older. The Costanzas always reference the Jay Buhner trade from the Yankees. They always talk about how they traded away Jay Buhner, and I can't remember. And they always give the trade. I have to look at it real quick because I can't remember off the top of my head. Let's see here. Traded for. Let's see, who was it? Traded by the Yankees with a player to be named later, and Rick Balaban to the Mariners for Ken Phelps.
To Toronto.
To the Mariners. They traded Buhner from
New York
to Seattle.
Because he started Phelps. With... Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and so they always talk about how Ken Phelps was nothing. He amounted to nothing, but then Jay Buhner's out there hitting, you know, 20 home runs a year and driving in 100 runs.
Yeah.
And but it's always like, it's always the classic Costanza build, you know?
Yeah.
Had to trade away Jay Buhner! You know,
you're right.
I'm like, yeah, he did. Yeah, they traded away Jay Buhner. That's right. That's right.
Well, he was an all-star in 96, and he was 95, 40 home runs, 96, 44 home runs, 97, 40 home runs. So that would have been about when Seinfeld was in its heyday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that makes even more sense. That's kind of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. That's one that I like a lot. It's the and there obviously there's tons of baseball references on there because Jerry Seinfeld's a big baseball fan and George Costanza ends up working for the Yankees.
Yeah.
But so they're littered all over the place. But that's the one in particular that I love from Seinfeld is the Jay Buhner reference.
That's freaking funny.
Yeah, it's
I love it. All right, my last one is it's just terrific. It's from Back to the Future 2. Obviously, for those of you that don't know, I should say, Marty McFly goes to the future this time, and he ends up in 2015. And what they learned is that the Cubs won the Super Bowl. Oh, my gosh. The World Series. The Cubs won the World Series in 2015 against some team from Miami. And he's like, what? Because in 1989, when the movie was released, there was no team in Miami.
Yeah.
Was that 92 or 3 or something like that?
I think it was pretty close after the first one, right? So it would have been in the late 80s?
No. When did the Marlins become a team?
Oh, that was 93.
Okay, so 93, yeah. And then the Cubs actually did win in 2016, one year after the film predicted it, which is crazy.
You know, it would have been really crazy if they had beaten the Marlins to go to the World Series that year.
Oh, man.
Like, whoa. Yeah. Wait a minute.
Whoa.
Yeah, because that movie was released in 1989.
Right.
So that makes it, like, even more bonkers that it was 16 years in advance. The fact they're only off by a year for a team that has competed for a World Series, but also been, I guess, quote unquote, statistically due to win a World Series, you know, with that long, that they are only off by a year with that much. That's crazy to me. And then the fact that they got the city in Florida right, that got the first city in Florida to get a baseball team.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, maybe it was written by time travelers. I don't know.
Well, you never know. I mean, I'm convinced that certain movies are just telling us what people don't want us to know. And they're like, it's fiction. That can't possibly be real.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing, too, is they know what would happen if they had revealed that information to us, right? If they were actual time travelers and they're like, you know, the Cubs are going to win the World Series in 2016. You know, maybe we shouldn't do that so we don't get a Biff situation.
Mm.
You know, because they know.
Yeah.
Obviously. Yeah. They know what would happen if somebody had that information.
So. Well, Biff is a great example.
Yep.
Exactly. Let me take off my nerd hat for a minute and ask you to... my tinfoil hat is what I meant.
I fixed my glasses.
Yeah, that's right. All right, Brad, you're up. You got the last one.
Okay, I have my last one here. This is a good one. I thought this was fun. One of my favorite sitcoms ever is Parks and Recreation. It's very well written. Of the two mockumentary sitcoms, I actually prefer Parks and Recreation to The Office. That's not saying I don't like The Office. I love The Office. But I feel like Parks and Recreation is the superior sitcom. You can dispute that with me if you would like on Twitter or in the mailbag. Either way, the choice is yours.
Okay. I will. Let me get my phone, sir.
Okay. So.
You just wait.
So there's a reference to a law office. The law offices of Bapip, Bakota, Vorp, and Eckstein. Okay, now, for the people who are actually like really familiar with this show, I knew that the writers and creators of this show were big baseball fans, but I had forgotten that they managed the old blog, Fire Joe Morgan. Okay, like I totally forgot about that. Yeah. But I didn't realize that these guys are like not just like baseball fans, but baseball nerds, straight up baseball nerds. So, those are all references to baseball sabermetrics. Okay, we've got Bapip, looking it up right now because I accidentally closed my browser window.
What?
I know. I have to close it in order for stuff to work. Okay, so Bapip, or Bapip, I don't know, is batting average on balls in play. Vorp is, to me, it seems like a fancy way to say war, value over replacement player. And then we've got Bakota. Does that sound right, Brig, to you?
Yes.
And I'm not finding it. Something else is showing up. Where'd it go?
Wasn't it,
I can't. Dang it. Oh, Pakota, right?
It was a player after...
Player empirical comparison and optimization test algorithm.
That's there you go.
So it's Pakota.
Pakota, right.
So,
and that's the one, that's the evaluation one.
T-A, yeah. And what that does is that projects players in the future. And I had always wondered how teams would project guys and like pay them and stuff like that. And that is what they use. They use Pakota as a stat to project where they think guys will be in the next 4 or 5 years or whatever.
Yeah.
But since this was a really heavy stat-heavy blog, then they knew all these stats, and so they used it as part of a law office, and they would use those stats to also really rag on like below average MLB players who were getting a lot of attention, and one of those guys happened to be David Eckstein, which is where the Eckstein comes from in that law office. And it's funny because he's my wife's favorite player.
Huh. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you serious?
It's true. Yeah, because he was on that 2001 or 2002 World Series winning team.
Oh, I know.
And, you know, and he was a big contributor, and she thinks he's just so cute. And I think it's just because he's little, and I think it's funny. But a lot of people say, gosh, he was just terrible, but he was just so good in that World Series. Flash in the pan, but yeah. I thought that was funny.
Well, let's put it to bed right now. His WAR is 20.9. He's a two-time All-Star. He's got two World Series. World Series MVP. That's the one they're talking about, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's the guy.
10 years in the major leagues, we're looking at, let's do this. Let's talk about his batting average. 280 over 10 years.
It's not bad.
And it's not bad. It's respectable. OBP, 345. Slugging, 355. OPS, 701.
Yeah, see, that's the thing is he's a guy who choked halfway up the bat because he was so little. And so he's not going to have a slugging. He's not going to have a good OPS. And I think that's why they're like, yeah, he's not good.
Right. But, well,
I mean, I guess if he's doing what he's supposed to be doing, he's only 5'6". So he's Jose Altuve before Jose Altuve was Jose Altuve.
Yeah.
But
yeah, you're right.
Did not have the power.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway,
there you go.
That was a
figured we'd
a
get
really
nerdy
reference
for a minute.
Though.
Yeah, it's awesome. And Eckstein is in there. I think that's absolutely hilarious.
Yeah. Of all the major league players I could have chosen, they went with David Eckstein.
For real.
Catch new episodes of the Baseball Together podcast every Tuesday.